This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Come to Māori and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. I'm Bobby McCumber, a proud Ikitibus woman with links to Abeyang and Matake. I'll be bringing you the latest sports news from across the Pacific, whether it's making waves on the world stage or just as important to you living in the islands. Now, if you've listened to the show before, you know that I'll be joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific. Each co-host will share the latest local sports news on the ground and in the islands. My first co-host is a breakfast radio host and reporter for the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation. It's Cynthia Sader. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Keta from Solomon Islands. It's good to be back on Fresh Off the Field.
Oh, great to have you back. And my other co-host is here for the first time now. She's a journalist, a TV presenter, commentator, and former captain of the Fijiana 15s. It's Leilani Burns. Bula Leilani.
Hi, Bula Vanaka. Great to be here and can't wait to the show. It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. Now, Cynthia, it's been a few months since we've had you on the show. Very excited to have you back. Do you have any tips for Leilani being her first episode?
Yeah, so just be yourself. That's all.
Yeah, I'm sure she will nail it. Now, Leilani, how are you feeling before your first co-hosting of Fresh Off the Field?
A little bit of nervous, I'm not going to lie, but honestly, I'm super hyped. I'm super pumped. I cannot wait to get into the show. It's an amazing show, and just to be part of it is just an honour.
Well, we're very excited to have you, and I know you've been on both sides of the mic. You would have been interviewed as an athlete, and now you're interviewing athletes, and it's great to have you here. Now, coming up on the show, we'll wrap up a successful weekend for two of our women's rugby union teams.
Afui looking for options to beat last week's tally of 45, which they will do. There is a cherry on top for Samoa, a decisive win. They've secured one of the highly coveted World Cup spots.
Plus, there's the Cook Island Games and the latest football World Cup qualifiers for our Oceania teams.
Over the top it goes there, wonderful touch by Alec, and that is a wonderful goal. Vanuatu 2-0. And John Ellick, the Solomon Warriors star, 33-year-old John Ellick, has given Vanuatu their second goal.
And later in the show, we'll chat to Samoan cricketer Sean Cotter, who recently helped the Samoans move through to the next stage of qualification for the World Cup.
I like to think I can hit a ball a long way, but I've got nothing on some of these boys. It's crazy. So, yeah, I'm quite happy to hold up one end, hit the ones and twos, and then let the big boys clear the boundary.
There's plenty to get through, including some trivia at the end, so let's get into it.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
On Fresh Off the Field, you will hear stories about sports galore, and at the top of the show, we like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news story in your town. Now, this is the sport, the event, the athlete that has everyone talking in the whole country, and everyone has an opinion on it. If it's making waves, it'll be right here on the Coconut Wireless. Cynthia, let's start in the Solomons. What have you got for us?
Okay, so the Solomon Islands National Women's Rugby team had a really exciting opportunity to engage with a series of rugby friendly matches over the weekend on Saturday with the Briars Women's Rugby Sevens team from Sydney, New South Wales. And speaking to the Solomon Islands Rugby Union Federation, the local coach of the national rugby team here in the Solomon Islands, Chris Ney, appreciated the Australian Defence Force Sports for partnering with the Rugby Solomon Islands and also the Solomon Islands National Institute of Sport, making this possible here in the Solomon Islands. Just on the matches, so three matches took place on Saturday at the Tangran Rugby Stadium, and the first game kicks off at noon, which the Briars team took the lead in two contested games, and our National Women's Sevens team picked up on the last game. Both teams showcased their skills and sportsmanship in a fantastic event to local rugby fans. According to the National Solomon Islands Rugby Union Federation, Chris Ney, the National Sevens technical coach, also expressed the enthusiasm shown especially on the collaboration. He says that this tour is part of their developing programs moving forward, and they're hoping to gain valuable experience ahead of the upcoming Oceania Sevens, which will also allow the Solomon Islands National Rugby Sevens team to compete against international teams and also enhance their skills. Ney also stressed the importance of playing against diverse teams and appreciated very much the friendly match which happened on the weekend, saying that this one really boosted the morale of the National Women's Rugby Sevens team here in the Solomon Islands. So it is a really exciting match that happened over the weekend, and not only it is sports competition, but the event also captivates an important cultural exchange between the two countries through sport.
Great to hear the Soles got one win there out of the three games. Always love touring teams from Australia and New Zealand coming out to the Pacific. You mentioned some of the community involvement and the exchange there. I do love this aspect of travelling and touring teams coming to the Pacific so we can really showcase our islands. What were some of the things that the Sydney-based teams got to do whilst they were in the Souls?
Yeah, so part of their interaction that happened over the weekend, they also interact with the National Rugby Women's Sevens team here in the Solomon Islands. But interestingly, after the games over the weekend, they also, the Briars Women's team also went to one of the beautiful places in Solomon Islands that they visited as part of their celebrations over the weekend after the games. And they went to the Central Islands province at Gela, where the Roderick Bay and Maravagi team really appreciated their time at the Roderick Bay. And it's really, really nice to see them coming out to the islands and just being part of the people here in Solomon Islands, spending time with them, getting to know the Solomon Islands Rugby Sevens women team and all that stuff. It's really nice seeing that happen here through sports.
Yeah, you do love to see that cultural exchange. Thank you for that, Cynthia. Leilani, what's talk of the town in Fiji at the moment?
Well, week one of the Rugby League Pacific Championships kicks off this Friday, and Fiji is hosting two absolutely stellar matches right down here at HSC Bank Stadium in Suva. Now, in the women's competition, we have Tonga taking on Fetu Samoa at 6 p.m. local time, and then followed that is the Fiji Bati versus the PNG Kumuls at 8:10. But honestly, what's really been the hot topic of discussion on everybody's lips on the ground here in Fiji is, of course, Fiji's very own sons, the Fiji Bati. Coached by seasoned NRL and Fiji Bati rep Wais Kativirata, this week the team got a really great boost from the insights of the former NRL star Jared Hayne in his first ever rugby league coaching appointment since 2018 after a successful appeal which saw his sexual assault charges overturned and he was released from jail. So also in addition to that, we've got fresh from the NRL grand finals is appearances by Storm's powerhouse and the captain of the Fiji Bati, which is Tui Kamikamitha, and Sunia Turuva from the NRL Premiers, the Penrith Panthers. Now, Kamikamitha will be leading a vastly experienced Bati outfit, which includes the likes of Kemen Nangama, the former captain of the Bati. He's had 25 test matches under his belt. We've also got the speedster Micah Sivo out on the wing. We've got Viliame Kikau in his 17th match, also representing the Noble Banner Blue. However, you know, in my honest opinion, I believe that there's a really nice balance between both the seasoned players and some fresh faces that are definitely eager to make an impact out there on the international stage. And one such player I believe that everyone should be on the lookout for is, of course, Michael Jennings. Now, joining Bati from the Sydney Roosters, Michael Jennings, he brings a wealth of experience playing professional rugby with him. He's also not a stranger to representing a national side. He's also represented both Tonga and Australia on the international scene. And, you know, in addition to Jennings, I think they've been really having a great week for their family because the Jennings family have been making waves over here in Fiji with Michael's cousin, Leroy, who has also made his debut just last week with the Fiji Bulla Boys. And they're currently going through with their campaign to secure a place for the FIFA World Cup in football.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thanks for filling us in on what's flying around on the Coconut Wireless, both Cynthia and Leilani.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right. It is time to find out what other sports are happening across our islands. Cynthia, what's caught your eye in the Solomon Islands?
Okay, so here in the Solomon Islands, there's a lot of excitement coming out, especially with a recent tournament that was held at the Solomon Islands National University this week. They call it Shell Coconut. And this game actually is kind of an interesting game because, you know, everyone here in the Solomon Islands loved this growing up. It is a game played by kids when they grow up. And it's so good to have this sport held in the Solomon Islands because it includes having local primary school students participating. And through this sport, it is a creative art because they also include the education of the Faculty of Education and Humanities. And the Creative Art Department lecturer, Mr. Patrick Minity, explained that they would like to promote this game purposely to formalize it so that it can be adapted into both the primary and secondary physical education, PE in sports. This is really important because it's part of the culture and should be implemented throughout the country in schools. And it is a history in the making because students and the university also participated in this game and promoted it because it is also part of the students' activities and assessments that they write rules, making regulations to formalize the game so that it can be adopted in primary and high school physical education sport.
I'm very interested. Can you just give me a little bit of an overview of what Shell Coconut Tournament is? What do you do?
Okay, so in a game of coconut shell, it includes players having two teams participating in the game and have shell coconuts. After you grated out the meat inside the coconuts, and then when it dry, that is for the dry coconut. So you grated out the meat inside, and then once the meat is extracted, once the game started with the other defending team on the other side and the other the playing team on this side, then they started off the game with the balls throwing on the shell coconuts heaped at one side, and then they try to build all of the shell coconuts to the end.
Oh, there you go. I do love learning about new sports, especially traditional ones within our Pacific Islands. Thank you, Cynthia. How about across the Pacific? What else have you got for us?
So across the Pacific, the Cook Islands News reports that with the recent Rarotonga's 3x3 basketball game happening on the Cook Islands Games, the basketball teams delivered an outstanding performance at the recent games, placing in the top three across various divisions. And they also managed to secure multiple medals in the under-18 category. The men's team secured a bronze medal, while the women's team triumphed with a gold medal. The women's gold was a significant achievement as it showcases the strength of the Rarotonga's young talent that displayed during the entire 3x3 basketball games. And in the open division, the Rarotonga women's team earned a silver medal, while the men's team claimed gold in their division. The Masters mixed team also put on an impressive performance, winning silver. And this is an avenue not only highlights the athleticism, and but also puts out the teamwork of Rarotonga's players and also contributes crucial points toward the island's overall standing in the games.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Cynthia. I thought I might stick with the Cook Island Games, which are back in 2024 and being held in Rarotonga, like you've said. They started on the 4th of October and will finish this Saturday. So it sees 11 of the 15 Cook Islands competing against each other in open, masters and youth categories across a range of sports. Aitutaki was leading the open category not long ago with Mangaia second and Mitiaro leading the masters and youth category. Some of the other sports alongside the 3-on-3 basketball, as you mentioned, Cynthia, include athletics, football, darts, we have golf, handball, badminton. There's also beach volleyball, cricket, oivaka, sailing, table tennis and triathlon. So there's a number of sports for everyone to compete in for the Cook Island Games. The closing ceremony will be this Saturday, and that is at the National Stadium in Nikau as well. Leilani, let's head over to Fiji. What would you like to share with us in local sports over there?
Well, Bobby, one of the biggest football tournaments, the Interdistrict Championships, is currently on the way down at Churchill Park at the moment in Lautoka. Now, this prestigious tournament is absolutely steeped in history, tradition, and it has long been the crown jewel of domestic football right here in Fiji. So 2 days into the tournament, the Premier Division has been absolutely brimming with talent and excitement, not to mention the intense battles that have been taking part on the field. Now, some standout teams for the competition has definitely been the host Lautoka, who are up for a spot in the semi finals pending today's results, but after one of their crucial players that actually hospitalized yesterday, I think they might be feeling his absence out there on the field today. Other than this, key team to keep an eye out for is definitely the two Extra Supermarkets teams. So you've got Extra Supermarkets Rewa and you've also got Extra Supermarkets Lambasa. Now, the Extra Supermarkets Rewa team are definitely the strongest team heading into day three of the competition and have all eyes firmly set for them onto that final winning trophy. They are the National League champions and they've also been very well versed in the Champions League in Oceania. Now, Ba is also the reigning champions from 2023, but their finishing has been kind of letting them down. They had a loss to Rewa yesterday. But, you know, in all honesty, we cannot rule them out because as we saw last year, they headed into their first game last year and they actually drawed that game. And then they turned around and they won the entire tournament. So you cannot rule out Bar. So the IDC is definitely a great opportunity for our Fiji reps to get some valuable game time under their belt. And we know at the moment that they're currently playing in the FIFA World Cup qualifiers. They've got matches coming up against PNG and also New Caledonia just around the corner, and so they can't rest on their laurels because we know how extremely strong both PNG and New Caledonia is.
Lots happening in football there. What else has grabbed your attention from across the Pacific, Leilani?
Okay, you know, I have to talk about rugby. As a former rugby player, I've got to put women's rugby out there. So I am absolutely thrilled and proud to report that Samoa has just qualified for the Women's Rugby World Cup for the first time since 2014. So playing recently at the WXV tournament over in Dubai last week, they had this as their final opportunity for Samoa to qualify. Now, the WXV was a new initiative. As we know, World Rugby just introduced this in 2023 with a whole hope to revolutionise international women's rugby by providing a pathway for all unions to compete, as well as offering a springboard towards the expansion into a 16-team Rugby World Cup in 2025. A strong Samoa team faced off against their Pacific sisters and the 2021 Rugby World Cup reps, Fijiana, and they had a convincing win, 45-17, with impressive performances by their scrum half, France Bloomfield, who also was awarded the Player of the Match for her efforts. Marusina Samoa cemented their place in Rugby World Cup in England when they also beat Madagascar. Convincing win again, 46-15 in Pool 3 to finish second in their overall competition for the WXV. Spain, meanwhile, wrapped up the WXV3 title. They joined Samoa in qualifying for the Rugby World Cup. Unfortunately, and I'll say unfortunately because Fijiana is my team, they beat Fijiana, crushed their dreams with a 10-8 victory. But Samoa arrived back in the country yesterday and I was having a chat with their assistant coach, Filoi Enalico. The team has definitely got their sights firmly set on Rugby World Cup and it is their aim to do not only Samoa, but the whole of the Pacific proud next year in England.
So the first time since 2014, I imagine majority of these players are going to be playing in a Rugby World Cup for the first time. Leilani, what tips would you give to some of the Manusina players who are playing in their first World Cup?
My advice to the players that are heading in is just to keep focus on what they're trying to achieve out there. Drown out the noise that will happen around you. Be there for one another. Come together as a team and just keep moving forward. At the end of the day, you're out there to do a job, make your country proud, make your family and make you proud as well. So, you know, I wish them all the very, very best and I know that they'll do very well for all of us.
Oh, so can I ask, have you played in a Rugby World Cup yourself?
No, we actually qualified for the first ever time. I believe it was in 2019. So 2019 was the qualifiers. It's the first time that Fijiana had ever gone into a Rugby World Cup, which was in 2021. I wasn't on the pitch, but I was actually part of the coaching team. So it was nice to be able to still participate in a Rugby World Cup, albeit in a different sphere of coaching. And I was just proud to be able to support the girls and as they went out and represented Fiji in our first ever Rugby World Cup.
Oh, incredible. So you are involved across the board as a player, as a coach, in the media. You're well-rounded, Leilani. It's so wonderful to have you a part of the show now. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. Now, there are eight teams vying for one spot at the FIFA World Cup in 2026, and the most recent round of qualifications happened over the past week. The Group A games in Suva saw New Caledonia beat PNG 3-1 and Fiji beat the Souls 1-0. The next round of matches are in Port Moresby. That is happening in mid-November, where the other four games will take place, and that'll be over 4 days. In Group B, the matches in Port Vila saw the home team Vanuatu beat Samoa 4-1 and New Zealand beat Tahiti 3-0. The rest of the matches will be played in New Zealand, and that will be in mid-November as well. From there, the top two of each group will play in the semis, and then the final, which will happen, and that is in March 2025. The winner of this Oceania qualifying will make the 2026 FIFA World Cup, which is happening in the US, Canada, and Mexico. The loser will have a second chance to make the World Cup through inter-confederation playoffs as well. So not all is lost there. But lots happening. World Cups everywhere, whether it's a FIFA World Cup. We've got Rugby World Cups happening as well. It's all happening and you hear all about it here on Fresh Off the Field. Thank you so much, Cynthia and Leilani. It's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh Off the Field. Power of Pacific Sports.
Okay, let's have some fun. It's time to get to know my co-host and I a bit more. Plus, we'll see who's a good liar. Gyamanstapwe is tokpissen. It means pick the lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true, one will be a lie, and the other two co-hosts will try to gyamanstapwe. Cynthia, we're going to start with you. You've played this game before. Tell us three things about yourself. Two true, one lie. Let's see if Leilani and I can gyamanstapwe.
Okay, so I think this one's going to be hard on both of you. let's see. So I am the only female in my family. That is the first lie. That is the first one.
Did you just give it away?
We'll see.
Oh my God, I think I just gave the answer. Okay, so I'm going to change that one again. So the first one is I am the second eldest in the family.
Okay, cool.
The second one is I have four brothers, and the last one is I am left-handed.
Okay, Leilani, let's go with you. What do you think is the lie? Let me know if you want me to repeat those answers for you.
I'm going with the first one being a lie. I just got a hunch that that might be the lie, but I could be wrong.
So she said that she's the second eldest in the family. You think you're going to go with that one? Other ones were she's got four brothers and she's left-handed. I don't like to do the same as the other co-host because I want to beat you, Leilani. But I think I'm going to go with you. And no. I'm going to say left-handed. I'm going to go left-handed. All right, Cynthia, what's the lie?
So you got it correct. I'm right-handed.
Oh,
oh my God.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry, Leilani.
it's you can tell people that have played sports before. I am so competitive in the littlest things, even these fun games where we get to know each other. All right, Bobby 1, Leilani 0. Okay, Leilani, your turn. Three things about yourself. Let's see how we go.
Okay, so the three things about myself is I like diving and swimming with sharks.
Ooh.
I love cats. And this time last year, I was in the over in New York with the NHL.
Ah, okay. Cynthia, what do you think the lie is? Let me know if you want me to repeat those.
So I think the last one would be the lie for me because I think Leilani must have been very busy as she's a TV presenter doing sports reports. So I have to go with the last one.
You think the last one is a lie? I am going to say that the second one is a lie. You love cats. I don't believe it, Leilani. I do not believe it. What is the lie?
Well, I'm sorry to say, Cynthia, but, you know, Bobby's got 2 out of 2 with that one. I don't like cats. I love dogs.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
But, yeah, the two truths. I love diving and going swimming with sharks. And, yeah, last year I was over in New York and spending some time with the NHL.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. Always more fun when I win. Thanks for playing. We learn something new every week.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific. Now, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories, we love hearing from everyone involved in the games. Each of us will bring in an interview from across the Pacific. Cynthia, who did you chat to this week?
Okay, so this week I managed to talk with the founder, the man behind the new introduced sport called the floorball in the Solomon Islands. He's the president and also the coach for the Floorball Federation in the Solomon Islands. And he spoke to me about what the game actually is, because here in the Solomon Islands, floorball is totally new, so he explains how the game is played.
Floorball is a very fast sport. Probably the second fastest in the world. Table tennis is faster if you compare the passing of the ball to another player. You use plastic sticks. You are 6 aside, and then you have a lot of substitution. We call it lines. So you have 1 goalkeeper and 5 inside. 5 go out and 5 new come in after around 2 minutes. And then those 5 goes out and 5 new come in. And then it just rotates. So in a national team, you have 3 lines and 1 goalkeeper and 2 goalkeepers maybe on the bench. So, yeah, it's a lot of players, probably around 20 players participating in a match, but only six aside. Yeah, it's been very good. We are only 1.5 year old when we got accepted as a federation here, and we also got accepted from the International Floorball Federation and the Asia Oceania Floorball Confederation. So we did quite good steps. We have 8 clubs in the country. Yeah. Has been gone very fast. I'm very happy, and the people working with me and players, everybody is super happy to see this.
Now, since its introduction here in the Solomons, floorball is starting to become popular, especially this year amongst our youth. Mr. Olofsson said the Solomon Islands Floorball Federation is also looking forward to some very exciting competitions before the end of this year.
Yeah, we're going to have this Women League. We're going to start 26th of October for the women, and then the women go separate after 3 weeks. So that's the plan, to have 2 separate leagues, 1 men and 1 female league. Will be played at Friendship Hall and multipurpose most of the times. So, and then if this work well, we will also do younger later. So we start with women first.
It's always nice to have new sports that are introduced. Thank you for that interview, Cynthia. Leilani, who did you have a chance to catch up with this week?
Well, I had a great opportunity to catch up with Lehi Hopuate. Lehi is the son of John Hopuate, and he also debuted for the Manly Seagulls for the first time this year. In addition to that, he is donning the red jersey for the first time alongside his sister, who is competing for Tonga in the women's team. So I had a bit of a chat to him about what it means to represent Tonga.
It's definitely a dream come true. I used to attend these camps with my dad. He was part of the staff 5 to 10 years ago, and I used to always come with him to these camps and to play with the players that I played back then. Yeah, it's definitely so surreal.
And speaking about your dad, big shoes to be able to follow in with John Hopuate, and then you've got some brothers who also have gone through, represented Tonga and currently still playing with the NRL. Tell us, have they given you any advice as you head in to be able to represent Tonga for the first time?
Yeah, definitely. They've been huge on my selection. Especially Will, the only brother that's played for Tonga so far. So he played last year, and he's basically handed down the baton to me. So yeah, we've definitely had some talks about my selection. He knows that like the opposition, they're definitely one of the best teams in the world, or they are the best team in the world. So yeah, he's just telling me just to keep my head down and just not to worry about their game. Just more worry about what I can do for the team. Yeah, just keep turning up.
Your father, your brother's experience, how did they actually influence your own journey in rugby league? And can you share with us any specific moments that may have inspired you?
Yeah, definitely. They've really been a big impact in my life. Growing up, I didn't really make all those representative teams as my brothers did growing up. So that definitely put me down in a way. Coming through high school. Yeah, so my brothers and my father, they've told me that they're representing footy doesn't really matter growing up. All that matters is making an NRL, and that's probably like the biggest thing that they've told me, because I was down at times not making those things, and for them to be able to have my back and, you know, uplift me in a way, definitely wouldn't be here without their advice back then.
You also have very strong female influence in your life. Your mother, Brenda, I can imagine she must be super proud of you to be able to don the red jersey.
Yeah, definitely. She's the rock of our family, all us boys, and my sister wouldn't be in NRL if it wasn't for her. She's the one that, you know, gives us high standards and, yeah, keeps us humble.
And let's talk about your sister now. Bonnie, she's out there representing Tonga also in the Women's Civic Championships. She's about to head onto the field on Saturday in her match against Samoa. Being an older sister, what impact has she had on your career?
I've actually been in her shadow my whole life. So for myself, I always wanted to get out of her shadow, and I've finally been able to do that in a way this year. And yeah, I haven't stopped telling her about it ever since. So.
Oh, great. And what about herself? You know, has she also given you any pointers heading in representing Tonga for the first time?
Yeah, definitely. She made her debut for Tonga last year, and she just told me just to soak up every moment, even in camp.
Wonderful. And, you know, of course, Tonga has been renowned for producing world-class rugby league players. Tell us, what impact has the culture had in your playing ability and how you approach the game?
It's definitely been a big impact. The past decade or so, I feel like the Polynesian community has created this nation to ever play the game of rugby league. So I feel like the past Polynesian players have paved the way for players like me and Kylan. So grateful to them, and it just makes playing style more easier to, you know, be selected in these sort of teams. So yeah, it's definitely been a big impact.
You also won yourself a Rising Star Award. What do you think were the key factors that helped contributed to your success within the NRL season?
Definitely the back five and Coach Seabold, they've definitely helped me week in, week out. You know, just keep my head down, stay humble, and, you know, just do your job for the team. So, yeah, the past 12, 13 games, 12, 13 weeks, I've been able to play week in, week out. Yeah, grateful that he was able to put his trust in me to be able to play just play my game and just, you know, just not overthink the game of footy and just see how it is.
Mm. And heading into this first match, what are some of the key areas of focus that you are going to play into your own game?
Just to focus on my job. I know I may be the youngest on the field, but just not to be afraid to tell the big boys what to do, where to go and whatnot. So, yeah, just to do my job for the team and, just be consistent with it.
You are such a young, up-and-coming player. I believe you're only 19 years of age. You've got a big career ahead of you. After Tonga, what is next?
Yeah, thank you. The big focus for me after this camp is just to, obviously enjoy my time off after a long year. So, just to get away from footy and once footy's back, just to try and keep that starting spot. There's a lot of injury-free plays when Chris isn't back up again. So just to keep my head down, stay focused and, be consistent.
A Lehi Hopuate there, Tonga representative, also Manly Sea Eagles. One of the things that he mentioned there that I love, Leilani, was about his mother, you know, being a rock and role model for the family and really, you know, matriarch of the family. Was your mother similar in your family and with her influence with your rugby career?
Most definitely. I think one of the things that we pride ourselves within the Pacific is that we do have strong ties to our family and our community. And definitely my mother was a rock in our family, just like Lehi's, in terms of, you know, encouraging my siblings and I to keep striving to support us in all that we do. And I think it's because of, you know, my mother and also my father that helped me to be able to be the person I am today.
Yeah, I love that. And you're right, I think it is similar across the board there in the Pacific with mothers. Thank you for that. Now, I had the chance to chat to Samoan cricketer Sean Cotter. Sean recently played for Samoa and helped the team move through to the next phase of the World Cup qualification. I started by asking Sean what he had to do to qualify for Samoa as an overseas-based player.
Well, back in the day, I'm sort of dating myself here, back in 2009... it's actually where we first met.
It is,
yes. Working for Samoa Cricket. And Part of the criteria was to live and work in Samoa for 100 days. So I was working alongside yourself as a development officer as part of the qualification to become qualified to represent Samoa.
What was it like moving? Where were you living originally? And then, yeah, what was it like to move your life over to Samoa?
I was living in Brisbane at the time. For me, it wasn't much of a sacrifice. It was something I was looking forward to, and I sort of needed the change. I wasn't really that interested in uni at the time, being a young person. And it was actually good for me. It was good to go over there and experience the culture firsthand and get to spend some time over there.
Yeah. What were some of the challenges of moving, living in, I guess, a developed country like you were in Christchurch?
Brisbane at the time.
Oh, Brisbane, sorry. Yeah. What was it like going from Brisbane to Samoa, some of the challenges?
The main thing was the language barrier. Luckily, I had family and little cousins over there teach me Samoan, and I was helping them with their English. Everything else sort of came quite natural to me, which was good.
How did you go with your Samoan? Did you pick it up after the 3 months? Not the whole language?
Definitely
but...
not. No, it took a long time. It's still taking a long time.
But did you find just being immersed in the culture that you did pick up a lot more than you had, I guess, previously?
Yeah, absolutely. I was 20 years old at the time, so I'd never been to Samoa before. So for me, it was sort of a bit of an eye-opener, but I sort of fell into the culture quite quickly, felt home straight away. I just fell in love with the place straight away. Mm. So it was quite easy.
You suited a lava lava, I'm not going to lie. Did you wear lava lavas before going to Samoa?
No, not once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they fit you like a glove over there. What were some of the highlights of moving over to Samoa for 3 months?
Just spending time with my family, very, very close with my family. So that was a big one. I also met Salu, so my partner, future mother of my kids over there. So that's definitely a highlight. But everything about my experience there was great.
Tell me about your connection to Samoa. You mentioned briefly that you were able to reconnect when you were in Samoa. Who do you have still living there?
So my mum's Samoan, so she was born in Salailoa village in Savai'i. Most of my uncles and aunties are still there. My grandma's still alive. She lives in Vaivase. So I've got cousins and uncles and aunties still living there. And I was there 2 months ago in August, so it was really good to see them while I was there.
Was that for the cricket tournament?
Yes, yes, I was there. I didn't get to spend as much family time as I would have liked. We were sort of training or playing and this and that, but it was good. It was good to get the win in the tournament as well. So that was the main thing.
Yeah, and I'll touch on that a little bit more later, but I have to ask a very important question, and that is, what is your favourite thing to eat when you're in Samoa?
It's a slippery slope. I've got to be careful. My favourite go-to would be the keke pua'a.
Which so is? The, you can explain.
The pork buns. Anyone who knows it's very dangerous. I've got to sort of limit myself to two at a time. Otherwise, it can get pretty bad pretty quick.
Other than food, what do you miss most when you leave Samoa?
It's definitely my family. Yeah, very close with my family. So, yeah, it's always good to see them when I'm back.
Tell me what it was like the first time you got to represent Samoa.
It was really exciting more than anything. So I was quite young back then, 20, 21, so sometimes you tend to take things for granted, which I don't sort of now, but it was more pretty exciting. It's different playing sort of club cricket or rep cricket because you've got your country's name on your T-shirt, which is a little bit different. So you tend to try and take things a little bit more seriously. You put a little bit more pressure on yourself. But at the same time, you want to enjoy it because it's not every day you get to represent your country. So, it's good.
What is the Samoan style of cricket in comparison to your own experience playing in places like Australia and New Zealand?
Samoan style of cricket is see ball, hit ball.
Yes. Pretty easy, isn't it?
And hit ball a long way. Some of the challenges are sort of with cricket, especially the intricacies of playing different conditions. Australia and New Zealand, you've got turf wickets, you've got tactics and that sort of thing. With 2020 cricket now, it's sort of trying to allow ourselves to play that sea ball, hit ball style with a little bit more game sense around it. So that's the last sort of 10 years we've sort of been trying to combine the two, yet still try and maintain the way that we like to play. But I think we're getting there. We're getting very close. There's a lot of really good natural talent locally, And it's just trying to sort of refine those skills, allowing them to see the ball and hit the ball like they do naturally anyway, but just trying to apply a bit more game sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you one of those players that kind of have to hold up an end whilst everyone is seeing ball and hitting ball and you're trying to stay there as long as you can?
Well, I like to think I can hit a ball a long way, but I've got nothing on some of these boys. It's crazy. So, yeah, I'm quite happy to hold up one end, hit the ones and twos, and then let the big boys clear the boundary.
Speaking of, Samoan batter Darius Visser hit a T20 international record during the recent tournament in Samoa. He smashed 39 runs in one over. What was that like to witness?
That was crazy. It's not every day you get to witness a world record firsthand. For any of the listeners that follow cricket closely, he's knocked off some big names there.
Yeah.
You've got guys like Yuvraj Singh, Rohit Sharma, so two of the big names in Indian cricket. I don't think we really realised. It was just banging it, clearing the rope, easy. And then we didn't realise until the last ball. We thought, well, if he bangs this one, he's got the world record. So crazy to watch, yeah. But he's a quality cricketer. He's based in Sydney. His mum's from Samoa. And he's played high-level cricket in Sydney for a number of years. So he's more coaching now. So shout out to Hype Cricket Academy in Sydney. And Darius, he's doing some good work over there. He's keen to continue playing for Samoa, so hopefully he can do it again. Yeah. I don't see that record being broken for a while, because 6 sixes in an over is one thing, 3 no balls on top is another. So hopefully that record stays with Samoa for a while.
Yeah, definitely. So he hit 6 sixes in a row, including 3 no balls there. You know, I remember back in 2009, I think it might have been when you were playing, and Faisal Mullavai hit 5 sixes in a row. That was incredible. That was insane. I can imagine seeing Darius Visser smashing that record, a world record broken in Samoa. Awesome. Now, you were retired, but you made a comeback. Tell me about that.
In 2022, we had a similar tournament, corresponding tournament held in Vanuatu, and we underperformed, which was disappointing. We had a good quality team. A couple of things didn't go our way. We sort of played 6 games and lost 5 of them, which was really disappointing. And I sort of resigned myself to the fact, well, this might be stumps for me. I got in touch with Taryn about 10 weeks out from this tournament. I thought, I hadn't heard anything selection-wise. I said, just pass my messages on to the boys. I'll be watching from afar. And he sort of said, well, hold the phone.
Yeah.
Have you been doing any training? I said, no. He said, well, have a couple hits and we'll keep your name in the hat. We'll see how you go. And I said, if you need me, I'm available. And it rolled from there. And then 10 weeks later, we're on a plane to Samoa and out in the middle again. Yeah, so it was good.
How long was it between the last time you represented Samoa and the recent?
2 years. Hadn't picked up a bat in 2 years.
Really?
So, yeah. We were a bit light on the batting stocks. I was more than happy to come out. So I trained the house down. I worked with Lewis at Cricket for All down the road here in Adelaide. We worked pretty hard for a good 9-10 weeks. Also, Mark Cosgrove at Adelaide Oval as well. Shout out to Cozzy. We did a lot of work there, a lot of prep work, just to make sure I was ready, or as ready as I could be.
Mm.
And then got over there and, yeah, luckily had a few good hits and got the job done, which was nice.
Certainly did. And hitting 50 in the final game against Vanuatu, helping the boys get over the line. Now that Samoa have won the East Asia Pacific sub-regional qualifier, it's a mouthful, but that we got there, what is next?
The next step is the final qualifier for the Asia-Pacific region. Basically, it comes down to eight or nine teams. Top 3 go through to the World Cup, and it's simple as that. So we're potentially a handful of wins away from a World Cup, which would be massive. I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but Samoa, I think we're a population just over 200,000. There's never been a country that small making a Cricket World Cup of any sort, 50 over or T20.
Yeah.
So that would be massive, absolutely huge. So we're preparing as best we can, and we're very confident.
Yeah, oh, that's incredible. And there are 3 tiers of cricket teams, and Samoa still sitting, I think, in the third tier at the moment. So for them to be at this stage is incredible. To go to the World Cup would be unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So all the best. Now, the Samoan under-19 women's cricket team have qualified for the under-19 World Cup, which is happening in Malaysia next year. How did the Samoan cricket community react to this?
That's massive for them, absolutely massive. And it's a credit to Stella and Jeff and all the guys at Seeker over there, locally growing the game. So they're getting a lot of young players, boys and girls, coming through. And 2020 cricket's growing in popularity over there, which is great. And it's great to see. So there's opportunities for young kids coming through. If they want to play, they can travel, they can see the world, and they get a chance to represent their country in big tournaments, which is really good.
Yeah. With all of the success of the multiple Samoan teams, the national teams across the board, is the sport becoming more popular in Samoa?
Yeah, T20's massive. I don't think you will put forward a test team anytime soon. No Samoans on a stand in a field for 5 days. It's not going to happen. But I think T20 suits us down to a T. It's 3 hours. It's short and sharp. Yeah, so T20's massive over there. So we're just hoping we can ride this wave. That tournament that we just had was a big win for us. Very, very, very big win for us. So we're hoping we can get a few more and then go on to the big dance. That's the plan.
Kirikiki is a huge traditional Samoan game, which is based off English cricket, but they made it their own. The cricket bats that they use are huge and heavy. Have you played yourself?
Yes, I have played. Not well. I'll stick to the English version for now, but it's great fun. Oh, it's close to like a carnival atmosphere, almost like T20. But yeah, it's great fun.
I think if Samoans can lift that bat, swing it back and forward, then it will just be like a toothpick with a regular cricket bat.
That's right, yeah. They're not made for rotating strike. They're made for hitting bombs.
That's it. What do you hope for the future of cricket in Samoa, Sean?
Well, for me, the goal was always to boost our rankings and then leave the place in a better place than when we came in. So for me, that was always get some wins, get some tournament wins, get some funding. And then the next generation that comes through, they've got funding, there's funding, they can go play overseas, they can travel the world with tournaments and stuff like that. So that's my main aim. If we can maximise this opportunity that we have, then hopefully it opens doors for the generations coming through. Sort of one thing, without going too deep into the woods, with Samoan sport, it's almost like a catch-22. You want to develop the locally based players, but also to develop the talent, you've got to go overseas, you've got to go off-island. I mean, we're a country of 200,000 people, so it's finding that balance of being able to develop the local talent, but also have Samoans that live overseas come back and then contribute their skills, their knowledge and experience so that the country as a whole can go to that next level. That's the plan. We want to get to the next level so that the generations that come through can sort of take it to the next level again.
That was Sean Cotter there, Samoan cricketer and a friend of mine who we met back in 2009 when we were both living and working in Samoa. So good to see that he's doing well, and hopefully Samoan boys can get through to the World Cup of Cricket. Thanks, everyone. Some wonderful stories of our amazing sporting talent from across the Pacific. Now, before we go, I want to play Quizmaster and test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific.
Fresh off the dome.
Every week I'll ask three questions. Cynthia, Leilani, you'll use your name as your buzzer if you think you know the answer. And, of course, you can play along at home too. So scream your name out wherever you are and then come in with the answer. We're going to test your buzzers. Cynthia, can I hear your buzzer, please?
Cynthia.
Here we go. Nice. Leilani, can I hear your buzzer?
Leilani.
Hey, all right. Here we go. Let's play Fresh Off the Dome. Question number one. Now, this is multiple choice, just giving it. So just hold off until we've got the ABC multiple choice options there as well. Now, in the WXV3 competition on the weekend, Manosina beat Madagascar 46-15 to lock a place in the 2025 Women's Rugby World Cup. How many World Cups have the Manusina competed in? Is it A, none, B, one, or C, three?
Cynthia.
Leilani.
Oh, I think Cynthia was in. Go for it, Cynthia.
So I have to go with the first option.
So you're going to say A.
Yeah.
That was zero. That is incorrect. Leilani, the floor is yours. What would you like to do? B was one, C is three.
I believe it's one, but my heart is telling me three. So let's just go with one.
Oh, you should have gone with your heart.
Oh, no, bugger. I knew it.
It is.
Sorry
three.
To all our Manu sisters out there. I apologise.
Oh, I was just waiting. I was like, go for the heart, go for the heart. So it is actually C3. So 2002, 2006, 2014. So congrats to Manu Sina and Fijiana, who both qualified for the Rugby World Cup in England next year. It's Fijiana's second World Cup after playing the most recent one in 2022. All right, question number two. Here we go. Australia defeated PNG in the men's PM's 13. The score was Australia 42 to PNG what? All right, I'll give you multiple choice. Is it A, 10, B, 20, or C, 30?
Leilani.
Leilani, go for it.
I got C wrong last time, so I'm going to go for C this time.
It is not C. All right. Cynthia, so is it A, 10, or B, 20?
So I think I might just have to go with B. I think, yeah.
20?
Yeah.
Correct. Well done. We have a score on the board. There we go. So, yes, it was Australia 42 to PNG 20. All right. Last one. Oh, now, if you get this right, Leilani, we're going to go to a tiebreaker. Here we go, Cynthia, for the win. You need to get this right. Question number three. When did Samoa last host the Pacific Games?
Yeah, recently.
Say your name if you want to have a guess. I'll give you multiple choice. Here we go, okay? Is it A, 2010, B, 2014, or C, 2019.
Leilani.
Yes, Leilani.
I think it was 2019.
Leilani, it was 2019. We are going to the tiebreaker. All right,
I'm on the board.
You're on the board. Well done. All right, here we go. Now, I don't know if I've asked this before, but anyway, this is a tiebreaker question. According to the World Netball Rankings, who is the highest ranked team in the Pacific?
Cynthia.
Yes, Cynthia.
So I think it's the New Zealand team, netball team.
Okay, I'll start again. So it's not including Australia or New Zealand. So it's the rest of the Pacific. Cynthia, have a guess. According to the, in the Pacific, not including New Zealand and Australia. You want to have a guess?
So I think it's the PNG team.
The PNG team is not correct. Leilani, we'll go to you.
Oh.
If you don't get this right, then I'll give you both a multiple choice.
I had a feeling it might be Tonga.
I think you're right, Leilani!
Congratulations, Leilani.
Thank you.
I'd like to guess the Tongan team.
Yeah, Tonga Tala. They are currently ranked 8th in the world of world netball. There we go. Congratulations, Leilani, on getting that win there. That brings us to the end of the show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, breakfast radio host and reporter for the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, Cynthia Sadar. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, and nice to meet you, Leilani.
And, of course, thanks to my other co-host, former Fijiana player, now TV presenter and commentator, Leilani Burns.
Cheers, Vinaka. Thank you.
Oh, how did you feel, Leilani? You finished on a high, you got the win there, you happy?
You know, you cannot be disappointed with a win at the end. And, you know, it was really great to be on the show today and an absolute pleasure to meet you as well, Cynthia.
Love it. Oh, thank you also to WXB and FIFA for the extra audio used in this episode. And, of course, to you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific right here on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. This episode was produced on the lands of the Kaurna people and the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.